Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of The Dunker Spot. We are part of the Basketball News Podcast Network. I am your host, Nikias Duncan, and joining me as always is my co-host, Steve Jones Jr. How are you doing, sir?
Feeling good, feeling great, happy to be here, excited to be here. Thank you, Dunkers, for once again embracing your bounce. Nikias, how are we doing, man?
I am doing pretty well. I watched SummerSlam on Saturday. Did not anticipate doing that, but finished watching the Wings game. I was like, you know what? Let's see what the hype is about. Here, Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar are going to be facing off. And it's like, okay, sure. Let's see what's happening. A whole tractor, though.
Yep.
There was a tractor and Logan Paul. And I'm just like, what is happening right now? I had so many questions.
Oh, it was full of antics. And they need to just make all of them on Saturdays. I'll become a 13-year-old again. It's fine. I was entertained.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, this is cool. Like, it's taking me back to my childhood a little bit. Just chilling on a Saturday watching some wrestling matches. Like, this is cool. Like, got the introduction to the Street Profits. That was an interesting time.
Oh, that was the first time. Okay. Yeah. I guess you want the smoke now.
I was like, wow, this is cool stuff. But I'm still lost on the tractor. You know how upset I would have been if I had paid, I don't know how much wrestling tickets go for, to be clear. But like, if I paid like $300 or whatever for like a front row seat, and then I end up behind the lifted ring, and now I just have to, I'm leaving with a neck injury to watch the Jumbotron because I can't see anything.
Better look up and to the left, buddy.
Oh, I would have been heated, dog. I would have been heated.
Only you would have a man lift a wrestling ring with a tractor and be standing there mad. That's some very Nikias behavior. He drove a tractor down the ring, jumped off it, put a man in the tractor, dumped him in the ring, then used the tractor to lift the ring, and you're going to sit there with the stone face.
It was that was incredible. I'm saying once we got to the lifted ring portion and things really heat up, the man gets buried underneath a table. He gets beat with the money in the bank suitcase. He gets hit with not one, but two championship belts. If I would have had to look at the Jumbotron for all of that, yeah, I would have been mad. Up until that point, that was tremendous content.
Okay. All right. You have a fair point. See, that's
like, this is the crescendo. Like, we are getting to the climax of the match, and you just can't see it because the ring is up in the... Okay. You have now... Thank you for listening to The Wrestling Spot.
That spinoff is coming soon. We are locked in today, folks.
Folks, we are indeed locked in. Let's get some NBA housekeeping out of the way. First and foremost, before we get into the lighter basketball stuff, we did lose not just a basketball legend, but truthfully a legendary human being in Bill Russell, who passed on Sunday. He was 88 years old. I think the basketball accolades speak for themselves. 11 championships in 13 years, multiple MVPs, just the greatest winner that we've seen in the league. But what he stood for, the grace that he lived with, despite just the unrepentant racism that he had to live through and continue to live through, it's hard to overstate just how great a person Bill Russell was and how important he was for the league. And he lived a very full life, but you still can kind of fill that void with him not being there. Like, we were talking about a little bit before the show today, like, and you put it aptly, like, there will never be another Bill Russell. Like, you're not gonna, we should strive to be as good of a person as Bill Russell was, but like, ultimately, you're not gonna find that combination of basketball skill plus basketball accomplishment plus basketball trailblazing plus everything he did off the court. It's just an insane legacy that he's leaving behind. And we should all strive to be better.
It's a big loss and still kind of at a loss for words, just for what an amazing human being, leader, unapologetically himself at all times, and just being able to see the respect and the love and the people that he inspired, and basketball being a footnote during all this. Forget the championships, and no disrespect, all-time winner. But that didn't define him. Not even close. It was something that he did. And, you know, just reading quotes from him, biggest one for me that always has stood out is, you know, I've long maintained that it's more important to understand than to be understood. And I would encourage people to go read, hear, listen, see the words that he spoke and take them into account. And let's all try and be better. One day at a time. Let's all try and be better.
Well said. Well said. We should all strive to be better. And once again, rest in peace to the great Bill Russell. Have to keep the legacy going. Like, we just have to strive to be better. We should all strive to be as impactful as Bill Russell was.
Just do the best you can, folks. It's tough out there. Do the best you can. Be the best you can be. Fill your cup up to the best of your abilities, and it'll fill those around you. How are we going to segue to Tampa?
Yes. See, that's always the tough thing with stuff like this, because it's like, okay, do we end with this? Because then it's like, how do you cap it with this? If you start with this, like, okay, how do we talk about basketball? We're going to do the best that we can, one day at a time.
I'll pause. Oh, that was a good one. Never mind. You got it. See?
Oh, man. I saw the end and took it. All right. Let's get into some nonsense very quickly. We are once again talking about tampering. The Knicks and the Jalen Brunson signing is being looked into. Philadelphia's offseason is being looked into. More specifically, James Harden declining his player option worth a little over $47 million and accepting basically a 1+1 two-year deal for about $68 million. The contract cut that he took was conveniently enough to sign TJ Tucker to the mid-level exception, also Daniel House to the biannual exception. And so we're doing the early contact thing. I've made my thoughts known about tampering, but I'll do so again. I genuinely don't care. Like, you can't stop players from talking to each other and plotting to sign wherever. In the case of Jalen Brunson, like, his dad's on the Knicks staff. Like, Leon Rose's son, I think, is Jalen Brunson's agent. There's just going to be a line of communication on accident.
Now, I'll pause real quick. The NBA had to investigate the Knicks just on principle. Yeah. Even if there's no foul play. It's like, time out, man. Hold on. Wait.
There was a lot going on. Like, I get it.
Wait. So, you hired his dad. We have to talk about this.
Yeah.
I think, continue, my bad.
No, you're fine. But I'm just, my thing is, like, I don't care. Like, I get that that's a lot, but ultimately I don't care. But the last time we talked about this, I think, was during, like, the Kyle Lowry saga from last offseason, in which I said, again, I don't really care about tampering, but if you're going to make tampering a thing, be serious about it. That's kind of all I ask either way. Like, either let it go or really be serious. Because I don't want to hear about these tampering probes and then the answer, if the team is guilty or whatever, is we're taking away your second round pick from 2 years from now. Or we're taking away your second round pick this year. Which is annoying, because that's not really punishment, one. And two, it would be one thing if the second round pick you're just taking away is being given to the team of the player that they're losing. The draft slot is just not filled anymore. So now we just have a young player in the league that just doesn't get drafted now.
Ah, that's where it goes. I see it. I understand the vision.
Like, it just, like, that doesn't make sense to me. So I'm just like, okay, if you really want to curb out tampering, which I think is a futile effort, but I'm just a guy with a podcast, Mike. There are people in the league always much smarter than I am. So fine.
Well,
like, if you want
to, well, to say, here's the issue. You have to treat it seriously, because eventually the people at the top will get upset if they feel wronged. We've seen that, which is why these investigations exist in the first place. The issue is, how do you prove what? Like, if you go early enough in a game, you're going to see people in one shirt dapping up people in other shirts, and you don't know what they say. Turn on a TV screen, there's a lot of hand to the mouth things. You don't know what they said. They all have phones. There are places where you can eat food and have conversations. How do you prove it? Even if it exists, how do you prove it? And what's going to be the threshold? I think it's one of those things where, hey, this can't be a thing. Let's not be dumb about it. But also, if Jalen Brunson wakes up in November, I'll use him for an example. He says, you know what, dog? I'm going to the Knicks. Do any of the sequence events after matter?
Like, no, not really.
Like, people wake up and like, hey, I'm moving here. I'm going to work here. People transfer all the time now. Sure, I remember when I transferred. I woke up one day and I was like, yeah. I think this is going to do it. I didn't tell anybody until I did it, but yeah.
Yeah.
Part of life, dog.
Yeah. Like, I just, and that's why I think ultimately it's futile. Like, there's no real way to curb it. Like, I think this is just fighting uphill either way. But I also just don't, I guess from an optics standpoint, like, I just don't like the half measure either. Like, we found out that y'all were texting back in February. No second round pick for you. Who cares?
Gotta do something. Just so it doesn't run wild. Gotta do something. Gotta give a light punishment, a little light discipline, a little message sent. Like, hey, this is not a thing you can do, but you did it, but please don't continue to do it. Like, the Philly thing is interesting to me because it's a very weird contrast of, oh, James Harden did a cool thing, gave up a little bit of money. And the Sixers had flexibility, which isn't that what you want teams and players to do in this age? Have more flexibility to a degree, right? Big picture wise. And it's like, well, let's check that out. Let's make sure there's no handshake agreements here. Like, that's where I feel like it's just like, hey, let's just do our due diligence.
Yeah. I guess to be respectfully messy, like, this is just the, hey, what you and Ruben got going on, right? Like, that's like, I feel like that's just, we're just putting it on the table. It's just very much like, all right, what off-court collaboration are y'all making now that conveniently makes up the that you gave up? Like, what?
That's also the point. You can't get to the point where those things start happening. If those start happening, there's some people who can shake the table, I would say.
Yeah. Which, you know, get your money up, I guess. Like, I don't know. Like, I just...
All right, so tampering does not have your blood hot. What about the Fever?
The Fever just have me sad. Like, one, it's been weird, like, because I've been tracking the WNBA standings as we get into this playoff push. The Fever have just had, like, the eliminated symbol next to their name for like, a week and a half. And it's like, man, they were really down there. But...
Not long enough.
I'm not taking Fever slander from you. Anyway, Kelsey...
Smack Gold.
Anyway, Kelsey Mitchell has been ruled out for the rest of the season, has a partial plantar fascia tear in her left foot. She was in the midst of her best season as a scorer, averaging a little over 18 points per game, 4 assists, shooting 41% from 3 on nearly 6 attempts. So she has just been, she's been getting buckets all year long. Playmaking flashes have been fun. I clipped a few in the first Fever Aces matchup over the weekend, which we'll get into that shortly. But it stinks. Like, it's not going to affect the Fever's bottom line this season since they are already at the bottom of the standings. I do think this is an interesting opportunity for some of their younger guards, namely Destiny Henderson. She'll get more on-ball responsibility, but no Kelsey Mitchell there. We already saw Tiffany Mitchell, who is in the young guard stable here, but she's already getting more responsibility. Just got to see, like, what – just curious to see what the offense will look like for the rest of the season now. Like, there's a lot more usage to go around, but she was the hub. She was their best player. She was the one with a ton of scoring gravity. And without her, like, opportunities there, but I'm sure opposing defense is going to be like, all right, this makes life a little bit easier to deal with.
Yeah, you lose the luxury of the, hey, Kelsey, go make a play portion of the offense once you're defended. And it is a bummer because she has been playing her tail off, getting buckets left and right. I'm at the point where I want to see what Kelsey Mitchell looks like with a better squad. That's really no disrespect, but when you have that kind of scoring, that kind of potential playmaking wise, how does that pop with other things around you as opposed to being the thing? So hopefully she'll be able to get better and get back to the court and get back to business. But yeah, really good season too. Really good season.
She had a very strong case for an all-star berth this year. Did not make it. Again, the W is just very talented. There are a lot of good guards in the league, but she was right in the mix for that. I'll say less so for like an all-W team. Just again, the guard stable is really strong in the W, and then the record's definitely going to come into play with something like that. And not her fault, but they were the worst team in the league this year. So that's going to hurt there. But it just, it speaks, it's a testament to how good she is. And for her to shoot as well from three as she does, on the type of looks that she gets, she is someone that is running around a maze of screens. She's getting off movement. You play off too far in pick and roll, she will pull up on the dime against you. For her to be the focus of opposing defenses every night and to be able to get off that efficiently, I'm with you. Like, I would love to see the Fever build, grow and build around her. But if not that, I would love to see her on a contender at some point. Because I think just, if this is what she can do as a number one, and this is not a one-year thing with Kelsey Mitchell as the head of the snake on that for the offense, but if this is what she's been doing year after year with the focus on her, what does she look like if she's the number two option somewhere? That's a scary sight. And she bends defense in a totally different way. Again, can get in an ISO, can get in the pick and roll, but watching her move off the ball is a whole lot of fun. Like when we did the episode with Brittany Sykes earlier this season, she said Kelsey Mitchell was one of, if not her toughest assignment, just because of all the screens that she has to track her through and the type of shots that she can make off the bounce. So I hate it for Kelsey. I hope she gets better soon. Quality opportunity for some of these younger guards for Indiana. Let's see how they soak those up for the rest of the regular season. And I want to see what this offseason looks like for Indiana. They're going to have to, we'll see what the draft looks like. They're going to be picking high again. Carlos Knox is the interim head coach right now. Not sure if he's going to be the head coach next season. We'll see what that looks like and what other moves Indiana makes. But best of luck to Kelsey. Best of luck to the Indiana Fever as they close out this season. Now, Steve, what were you able to catch this weekend? What caught your eye?
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Who's the best backcourt in the W?
There it is.
Because as we watched the game on Thursday where Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith had more points than their opposition at half.
Yeah. Yeah, sure did.
Would you like to issue a public apology or?
I'm not sure. I'm not going to go to apology yet. What I will say is, again, we'll hit the rewind button very quickly. We had a watch party last week for for Mercury Storm, listening to the Mercury broadcast. Like, hey, this is the best backcourt W. I was like, I don't know about that one, Chief. I tweeted out, like, I know I didn't hear this because absolutely not. Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith proceeded to lose their everlasting minds.
They did. And then I tried to give Nikias a lifeline and say, hey, could they be the most impactful backcourt in the W? And Nikias still said no. So, continue.
I think I said I definitely can see it offensively. Defensively is where I have some pause. And to, I guess, to go against my own argument and to give some props to Diana Taurasi, defensive intensity has perked up over these last few games. She has defended well. And I've even made light in watch parties, specifically one we had on Thursday, where I was like, oh, if this is the Diana Taurasi we're going to see defensively, then I don't have much to say.
Hey, that zone is helping.
The zone, the zone is absolutely helping.
DT is working in that zone. You see the activity, you see the communication, the scram switching, you see it.
Yeah.
And the pull-ups. The pull-ups seem to have more purpose.
Indeed. It helps that they're falling now. Like, this is not the case for the first portion of the season. And so she has been on an absolute heater. Skylar Diggins-Smith has been, she's been great all season long, but She was the W's leading scorer in July. She has continued to cook. I guess aside from the game on Sunday, in which I think we went 4 of 18 from the field, there was a yell to the sideline to take her out of the game because she was in late. That was kind of weird, slight antic. But aside from that, she's been cooking. The Mercury are fun right now.
The Mercury actually look like they have good vibes, you know, until Liberty season came through. But
there it is.
I'm just curious, you know, it's fine. Skylar Diggins-Smith has had an excellent campaign. And when she hits that level, they're very, very difficult to deal with just because of the fact that she's dominating drives, hitting the pull up, and they're mixing her in off ball with backdoor cuts. So now it's like, what do we do? Is she in the MVP conversation?
I struggle with getting to MVP. And I mostly struggle with MVP because, like, I've never thought it's as simple as you have to have the best record in your respective league and also be good. Like, that helps, and that's a strong template. But, like, it doesn't have to be that. But, like, the Mercury are still firmly in the are they going to make the playoffs portion of the program right now. And she has been end-to-end great this season. But I can't get to MVP. Like, I am cool with putting her on the all-W first team as a guard, if it comes to that. But MVP, like, I think the winning has to come into play a little bit more. And, like, fair enough. Like, it, like, I just can't get there. If she's in the conversation, it's on a, hey, she's playing MVP caliber ball, not Skylar Diggins can win the award, and here's why, if that makes sense. Like,
I think she's a candidate. For sure. Top six.
Okay. I was about to say, like, what does candidate mean? We had this conversation during the
No, we don't have to rehash it. I enjoy the conversation a little bit more than you do. We're well established on that. So I'd say top six.
Okay.
I think it's a way to recognize the efforts that she's made this season.
Yeah.
But there's been a lot of great players in the W this season. So I can understand the pushback.
I got you there. She's been great. Like, I don't want to take anything away from the season that Skylar Diggins-Smith is having. Like, MVP is just rich for my blood. I guess while we're here, like, they did beat the Sparks on Thursday. We talked about that. They lost to the Liberty. Can we transition to the Sparks very quickly?
Yeah, I'm in.
Because, again, like, they did struggle to score for large portions of that game against the Mercury on Thursday. I was able to catch the Link Sparks game on Sunday, which descended into mayhem late in that game with some hashtag antics to boot. But the offense has been a problem. I am concerned about the Sparks right now. Like, they are so dependent on not only getting stops, but pushing. And, like, we touched on this during the Liz Cambage conversation, where it's like, yeah, they're going to have to play with more tempo, have to play with more pace. It's going to help unlock their guards. And I think the improved tempo would help. But though I acknowledge that they're going to miss having Liz as a security blanket sometimes during these lulls, I think I still ended up underselling that somehow. Because it has been particularly ugly when NECA isn't on the court. And they've had, if the transition opportunities aren't there, it's a lot of side to side. It's a lot of the ball ending up in the hands of Shanae Igumake or Olivia Nelson-Adoda and not using them as hubs, more so like, hey, we got 8 seconds on the clock. Can you get us a post bucket? And I don't think that's the best usage for either one of those two. And quick hat tip to Kennedy Carter, who's been fun in the Lizless game so far. But even then, like, those scoring barrages are kind of coming in bunches, and they're also coming in bunches when they're already down. And so they have some searching to do, and this is a bad time for them to have to do this searching. They are currently on the East Coast for a road trip. They, like five other teams right now, are in that 6 to 11 range in the seedings, very close together. They can't really afford to slip. And oh boy, like, matter of fact, we were doing the watch party Thursday. We did it after we recorded the pod, and we saw zone against the Sparks. It was like, oh, well, this is the one thing that we didn't really touch on, and it's not looking particularly great right now.
Yeah, it took a lot of the buzz out of that matchup for me. It was kind of rude, too. Man, the 6 through 11 thing is just insane at this point. The Wings are currently in 6 for right now. They are a half game ahead of the Mercury and one game above the Sparks. They are only 2 games ahead of the New York Liberty.
Like, literally a bad week gets you out of the playoffs.
A bad weekend, and you're looking up. And the funny part is they all have gone up and down. Sparks lost 3 in a row. Dream lost 4 in a row. I think last time we checked, the Dream were looking like, hey, they got this. And now they're looking up. It's the Lynx were on the way, and now they're on the way back. It's wild stuff.
It's wild stuff. Who quick.
What was it asked? Who do you want to see in the 7 seed, 8 seed?
Who do I want to see for 7 and 8?
Specifically 7 and 8. I'm going off the Sky and Aces taking 1 and 2.
Okay. If they start with recording on a Monday night, like if the playoffs started today, it would be Sky Sparks and it would be Aces Mercury, which I feel like would please you quite a bit.
Aces Mercury? Honestly, sign me up for Sky Mercury or Aces Mercury. I'm in.
You're just here for the antics.
Oh, yeah. 1,000,000%.
I think if we're talking about favorable matchups, like, I think the Sky would want to see the Sparks. How are the Sparks scoring? Like, if NECA gets a tough 20 against Candace and Emma, like, you tip your cap, and then who else is doing anything? And then I think if you're the Aces, you probably want the Wings.
You want the Wings, personally.
I'm saying, like, looking for, like, I think either, honestly, I think either of those teams would be okay facing the Sparks. Well, I say that. I think they would beat anybody in the lower bracket.
Dang. You're kind of going at the Sparks today, buddy.
I'm not. I'm just, if I'm looking at the Sky and Ace, like, okay, what team do I want to deal with for 2 or 3 games? Like, give me the team that has some offensive issues right now or teams that we can run against.
I did not expect you to go full Katy Perry on the Los Angeles Sparks today.
That's an incredible shot. But I'm not. I'm just, again, look through that lens. If we're just looking at the fun factor, like, if you want to, what does Nikias want? Like, sign me up for Ace's Dream if they can get up to 7, because I will just make the drive.
All right.
Like, if we're going to what does Nikias want? If we're talking about the basketball, then I think Aces Wings would kind of be what they would want.
The hashtag is Mr. ABO. Also, you only pick the 2 young teams.
What do you mean?
This is incredibly on brand.
Wow. I don't know if I like this bit. Anyway.
It's fine.
Is it fun? Oh, man. What is your worry level with the Sparks right now?
I think it's a shock to the system. As you have a lot of guards, you're finally kind of getting everyone back.
And you just lost Christy Tolliver.
Yes. And so, again, you're trying to make it work on the fly a little bit. And now you're revamping your offense that you were trying to make work anyways. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those deals where it's not like you had the strongest of bases to be able to just say, all right, we don't have Liz anymore. We'll just run X, Y, and Z. Well, now you're trying to figure out, okay, what should X, Y, and Z be?
Yeah.
And that's tough to do on the fly, especially as other teams are fighting and scratching and clawing and the top teams are getting sharper and sharper. They got to find a way to either turn it up defensively or clean it up in the half court offensively and just, I would say, play with a little bit more of a purpose. Find the pressure points a little bit easier. Because if your guards aren't getting in the paint, you don't really have a roller. Teams are going under your handoff and movement actions. Now you're up against the clock. So they just got to get out the mud.
They have to get it out the mud indeed. And they're going to have to find... They're in a weird spot too. And again, like they're trying to figure all this out on the fly. So I really do feel for them in this regard. Like, you can't game plan for losing Liz Cambage like a week and a half before the playoffs start. Like, you can't factor that in. And so I think adding to the balance is even with Liz, like this was a team that was struggling to find lineups that could space in a way that really stresses defenses out while also maintaining their defensive aptitude. That becomes a lot more important now. Like, I think they have to lean more to the shooting at this point because they have to find a way to open things up and create pressure points if they aren't just naturally there with some of the personnel that they have. And so this is going to be, you know, once she's like fully healthy and consistently healthy, like this is going to be a big stretch for Lexi Brown when she's there. It's going to be a big stretch for Katie Lou Samuelson. She's got knockdown shots. Shout out to the incredible run Brittany Sykes had in the second half of the Sparks Links game on Sunday. They're definitely going to have her knocking down pull-ups just to keep defenses honest and hopefully open up some things. The shots are going to have to fall. Like, that's very boring analysis, but the Sparks need as much shooting help as they need, as they can get. Because ultimately, like, they're going to go as far as Neko Gumake takes them. And if teams are okay with helping off of virtually everyone else that she's on the court with, that's going to be a problem. And if you compound that with teams being more willing to go to zone, and we've been talking about the Sparks against zone since before all this happened. And so if teams are more comfortable doing that, it's even more important that you're able to swing, get into the middle of the zone, kick out, and knock down those shots. Because otherwise, defenses just aren't going to respect them offensively. And that's a tough place to be. Like, as much as they are more equipped to play force turnover, get out and transition basketball, you don't want to be entirely reliant on that. And if they aren't able to do that, then that's a problem area for the Sparks. That's why we're at the bottom of the standings. We already talked about the Sparks. We talked about the Mercury. The Dallas Wings creeping up to six.
Is it creeping up or did Sky just clear out for a little bit?
I mean, quality win against the Dream. I mean, the teams ahead of them were losing. Like, that certainly helps. But here they are. As confusing as they've been all season, they still have Arike Ogunbowale that can erupt. They still have Marina Mabry that can knock down tough shots. They still have Alicia Gray, who can do a little bit of everything. Also, watching her hound Ryan Howard, get Alicia Gray on the all-defensive team. That just has to happen. But you have Alicia Gray. You got basically a career game from Kayla Thornton, which if she's also knocking down threes, that certainly helps. Tierra McCowan has had a solid stretch. The center job seems like hers to lose at this point, especially if you look at just how the minutes are being distributed. I don't know. Like, I find myself out, and then you have a game like Saturday. And it's like, okay, well, I see where they can just find mismatches and they can find pockets of things to attack on offense.
And we will see how we'll circle back here in a week after they play the Sky and the Aces.
Yeah, tough week.
You got to time those up, Nikias.
Yeah. You got to get the praise in early, because then if things go haywire and it's like, well, they did play teams that were better than them. It's kind of the poor Wings, man. Okay. Let's move up the standings a bit. We did get basically a two-game series between the Storm and the Mystics, which just looks like that's going to be the 4-5 matchup. Just depends on who's getting home court at this point. What did we learn from the back-to-back games on Saturday and Sunday?
To me, one, the Storm are still trying to figure some things out offensively. I still think the zone is a good idea. I think offensively, it's more just getting pieces, spacing for me down. But you get two close games, you get two gutty efforts, and Elena Del Don's really good.
Yes.
And there are some folks who just said she was not an all-star, and I'm confused. Still, to this day, I'm massively confused. I asked the question, how can you think that? Then I asked the question, what do you do when Elena Deladon says, yo, I'm good, I can hoop more? They're 15-5 when she plays, Nikias.
I hear a 75% win percentage is pretty good.
They're tough. And she is such a moving target right now. Post-ups, isolations, drives from the perimeter, pick and roll, can be a screener. could be a roller, could be a popper. She can handle the ball in pick and roll. Whether it's Clark or Cloud, they're using them as screeners for Elena Delladonna transition. Good luck with the show and recover. She's getting downhill, initiating contact and finishing. Cross screens, pin downs, flares. And because of, you know, with the minutes with Shakira Austin, if that doesn't work, you can just fall in something else on the other side of the floor. You can go empty corner, Shakira Austin rolling in EDD space. So they are, she's been incredible. And then I thought she set a good tone early. I believe it was the first matchup defensively against the Storm where she said, I'm here.
Started with a block on Bria. Like, I was like, oh, okay. 10 seconds in, huh? Bet.
Yeah, she was engaged, and that's a scary team. The 4-5 matchup is going to be unfair. If it's Storm Mystics, how? Like, one of those two teams is going home immediately.
Yeah.
And if the Suns somehow fall into that, also unfair. Like, a really good team is just going to have their season end early.
It's unfair. And I was... Again, I watched the second matchup today. And one, it's just like, man, this is muggy basketball. And like, in a good way, because these are, by defensive rating, these are the two best defenses in the W. I'm just like, okay, bet. They have bucket getters in the front court. They have some aggressive guards in the back court. Stifling defenses. Great personnel they just kind of swap out whenever. Like, this is a mirror. This was like a mirror home and home. And this one's going to be a mirror series when we get it, assuming that we get it. And so I'm just like, man, this is, to your point, like, this is unfair that one of these teams has to lose in the first round just by virtue of the matchup. But I was kind of honed in on what Washington is doing offensively. Because you're right. Like, Elena Delladonna can do anything you ask her to do. Like, she can. She's just that freaking good to that point. Averaged a little over 22 points per game in July, 58% on twos, 48% on threes, and 97% from the line in the month of July. Like, just barely missed from anywhere on the floor. It's insane. But in relation to the Storm matchup, particularly in the second game, I was keyed in on the usage. And very early on in that game, we got an empty corner pick and roll with her and Alicia Clark. Alicia Clark is the ball handler. Seattle switches it, gets Jewel Lloyd on Elena Delladonna. It's like, all right, bet. They're going to go to a post-up. Then I look on the other side of the floor as Elena is getting ready to try to seal Jewel Lloyd. You already have Gabby Williams getting ready to sink in, provide help if necessary. Tina Charles is lurking over. Sue Bird is ready to kind of split on the weak side if necessary. And it's like, oh, okay, they're keyed in on this, duh, because this is EDD. But that also made me look at, how is Washington spacing this out? And it's Ariel Atkins in the far right corner. And it's Natasha Cloud on the wing. And Alicia Clark just made the pass. She's there. Shakira Austin is kind of in front of Natasha Cloud getting ready to set a screen. There's kind of home roaming around. And I'm just like, I'm a little bit worried about the spacing when it comes to the Mystics. And more specifically, like, how teams guard those players. Because we've talked about Natasha Cloud on the podcast. She made the proclamation early on, like, she's a shooter. Shooting about 33% for three this year. She's more willing to take those shots. She's been shooting well as of late. I think during the broadcast, they said she was shooting 45% in her last five games at that point. So she can knock the shots down. The Storm never defended her like she was a, holy crap, we got to get out there shooter. They don't defend Shakira Austin like that on the perimeter. Alicia Clark can knock down shots. They're not hugging her jersey. And so when I look at it in relation to this matchup, it's like, okay, how can they, like, EDD is good enough to just get buckets because she's EDD, but like, how can they scheme up easy stuff for her? Where is that going to come from? What are the lineups that are going to maximize her? And as much praise as I've showered Shakira Austin with on this podcast, and we'll continue to do so moving forward, like, much better in the second game than the first game offensively. And so I just kind of have my eyes on how they're going to open up EDD and create easy offense. And then what the offense is going to look like when she's off the floor. And to that point, like, they did find some good stuff with Natasha Cloud, Shakira off the pick and roll. To your earlier point, like, you can just space EDD and get the fruit to that. And that felt a lot better than, like, the Natasha Cloud EDD pick and rolls or the Clark EDD pick and rolls. didn't see much of Ariel Atkins and EDU's together in that way. But it's just like, I don't know how to feel about that. It's good to have that in their back pocket. That particular two-man game felt like the one that created the most issues for the Storm defense. And so it's like, it's good for them to have that, but is that something that the Storm are okay with dying by? Like, are they kind of baiting them into doing that more so you're not having Ariel, Natasha, EDD directly involved offensively?
That's a good point. Does that move to a concern for you come playoff season? Or is this something that they're going to face the top tier defensive unit.
Yeah.
So is that something you feel like that's going to be a thing they have to overcome?
Like, I do think that's something they're going to have to beat. Because, again, like, the 4-5 matchup seems to be, we're just trying to figure out which one of those teams is going to have home court. But it feels like, it looks like that's going to be the 4-5. And so they're going to have to solve that to move forward. To that point, though, like, they win the 4-5, they would face, the winner of that series would face Chicago, assuming they take care of business in the 1-8, right? Yeah, like, this is just something they have to deal with, because Chicago, it's not like it's a massive drop-off for them defensively either. So, yeah, like, I think it's kind of a playoff concern for me. Like, how are they able to get easy things for EDD? And how they're able to balance getting the others involved. Again, look at their team stats, like, they were the two best defenses in the W. They're also, I think, 7th and 8th in offensive rating in the league. So very much middling offenses. And that's with, again, the Storm have Breonna Stewart and Jewel Lloyd and Sue Bird. And the Mystics have EDD and Ariel Atkins and Tasha Cloud. Like, there's talent there, but the offenses haven't been world beaters this season. So that's something that I would like to see solid for Washington.
I understand that. Are you ready to apologize to EDD?
Why am I apologizing? What did I say?
Okay, so that's a no. Don't worry about it.
Oh, what do you mean don't worry? I'm now checking the show sheet doc, and it says now this man want to talk about EDD. What do you mean?
I mean, it was a lot of Elena Delanon from you earlier this season.
Is that true, or was I just highlighting that she wasn't available?
It's fine. Don't worry about it. You got free throws this week or what? Or did I miss a topic?
No, I do in fact have some free throws for you.
Hey, there we go. Step up to the line. 2 dribbles. Get it up.
All right. We are doing the Rip Hamilton free throw routine as we get ready to set these off. All right. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Bet. Better defender 3 years from now, Shakira Austin or Ezzy McBagor?
Ezzy.
All right. Marina Mabry or Mariah Jefferson?
Ooh, Mariah Jefferson.
All right. Better post game, Chelsea Gray or Marcus Smart?
Marcus Smart.
All right. Dana Evans or Rui Machida?
Rui.
All right. Better off-ball defender, Brittany Sykes or Lonzo Ball?
Brittany Sykes.
All right. Whose defense do you trust more, Seattle's or Chicago's?
Chicago's.
All right. More awkward contract discussion from the front office. Andrew Wiggins in Minnesota, Kyler Murray in Arizona, or Zion Williamson in New Orleans?
Absolutely Kyler Murray in Arizona. They went back.
Yeah.
So that's more awkward. Shout out to, I think it was Mark Stein who broke it down on Zion's deal, mm-hmm. where he's basically like, hey, yo, just means they can waive him if it gets out of control. I was like, all right, I get it. So if he turns into Abdullah the Butcher, now we can waive him. I got it. All right, we're good.
Got you. Chris Middleton or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown.
All right. Jamal Crawford or Manu Ginobili?
Lou Williams. Oh.
Unbelievable.
It's a great shot. I don't care what you say. Jamal Crawford or Manu? This hurts my heart. Manu.
I see. All right. How'd you feel about Beyonce's new album?
Oh, incredible. Incredible, incredible, incredible. I've listened to it in the car, on my phone, in the background. It's been good stuff. The transitions are insane.
Yes.
The music is exactly what my vibe needs for the summer. Even when the lyrics are something, the vibe is right. I'm good. How did you feel about Beyonce's album? Which song title got you hemmed up?
Got me hemmed up.
Yeah, made you picturing you listening to one of those songs and being like, whoa, wait a minute. or is the brand not the brand? I ain't seen a SpongeBob meme in 9 months. Don't let the Christmas hat fool you, folks.
Is this what we're on?
Don't leave your girl around me, troop. Nope. All right.
Wait a minute. I'm going to let you have it. Anyway, I also was a big fan of the album. First half of the album felt stronger than the second half for me, but overall was a strong listen. Cozy. Oh,
you trying to get packed up by the Beehive? ISO.
No, ISO needed. I think it was a very good album. I enjoyed the first half of the album more than I enjoyed the second half. Doesn't mean I didn't enjoy the second half. It was all good. First half hit a little bit more for me. Cozy would be the track that I enjoyed the most. Cozy was good. Plastic Off the Sofa was also good. That's where I land on Beyonce's album. Where are we at on the free throws? Ah, I see. More likely to win a title in the next 2 years, the Blazers or the Timbers?
What is this? What is this? What is this? What is this? Why is this a thing? Re-ask the question.
More likely to win a title in the next 2 years, the Blazers or the Timbers?
The correct answer is the Thorns. Then the Timbers, then the Blazers.
Okay.
This man.
I'm sorry. Oh, goodness. Actually, pre-match, did you have Brock or Roman Reigns winning the main event?
Roman Reigns.
Ah.
Without a doubt.
Okay. What is it, 780 days now? 680?
Yeah, man. Yeah. Acknowledge him and acknowledge me.
Is he just never going to lose? Like that? Is that the whole bit with the bloodline stuff? Like they just don't lose ever again?
Yeah, they're the ones.
Ah.
I actually was concerned. I didn't think the match would be that good. Last man standing matches are hard. So I know he's not staying down for 10 seconds.
Yeah. But
they did it.
They nailed it. It was a lot. Coming, it's like Brock has taken a spear, two belts, a suitcase, and he kept getting up at 8. I'm just like, wait. How does he look more dead? And he's getting up at the exact same, on the same number each time. Like at a certain point, it just turned into, let's bury him with literally everything. And then also Roman Reigns standing on top of all the carnage. And I'm just like, wait, if you could have did that, why didn't you do it the first time? Like if you can still stand on your opponent, you can literally stand on your opponent.
Nikias.
And prevent them from getting up.
Why are you looking for logic? I turned my brain off as soon as it started. That's why I did it.
Look, man, I just had some questions following the
only you. Only Nikias. Oh my gosh.
bothers is too strong in the word. But like I was like tweeting throughout the event, right? And I was watching which women's match was it? It was the Ronda Rousey match.
Liv Morgan, Ronda Rousey?
Yes. And so like Ronda Rousey is putting her in the armbar for like 8 different times. And I just tweet out, man, there's no way her arm is functional. and that was like taken literally. I was like, no, like I understand that I'm watching wrestling. I don't think she's actually like going to be decapitated or anything. But also that seems painful like this.
they took you at your word.
No, we have to explain to him that wrestling is not real. Like, no.
You weren't in on the bet.
Oh man, I grew up on wrestling, man. One last wrestling bit we get out of here. I will say, like, before I like fully recognized, like I knew that it was not real, but like I had a moment of questioning it. Do you remember the great Kali Rey Mysterio match? In which Great Khali is like squeezing Rey Mysterio's head. at that point, I had to go back. I was like, wait. Like, I knew this is entertainment. Wait, that felt too. That was close. Like, wait a minute. I was unsettled for like 30 minutes after that was the final match of the night. I was done for like 30 minutes. Like, wait.
No, that's all right, man.
Is he okay? That was a lot.
I was 8 years old. Shawn Michaels collapsed in the ring. I thought he was done. I cried.
I see.
Go look it up on the Other Bird app.
Not the Other Bird app. All right. Did you have any, I guess, either any more wrestling memories or free throw questions?
Oh, I mean, that's a whole separate pod. We could save that. We got a lot of off-season content to get to. It's August. Ain't nobody doing nothing. Breaking news was Russell Westbrook has a new agent. All right. Bet.
All right. Well, we're in the dog days of the NBA offseason.
It's all right. We are locked in. Locked on. Big question for you. The hashtag, folks, bringing it back. Big flashback.
Okay.
Actually, before that, I'm going to plug to shout out the community.
Okay.
I threw out some polls on our free throw questions on Twitter in the Dunker Spot community space. I know if you want to talk about any polls you put out recently.
There was one. But just a
quick recap on last week. 66% of the folks thought that Kathy giving Kelsey Plum a trophy was funny. They had the Storm as the number one defense out of them, the Sun and the Mystics. They had the Liberty as the top offense between them, the Sparks and the Mercury. Draymond Green was the Warrior they would keep. Jordan Poole was dead last. So take that, buddy.
Wow.
Jimmy Butler's hairstyle won over Carlos Boozer, and Chris Paul got a 2 defensively.
All right. Sounds about right.
All right. So back to the segment, big flashback. It's the hashtag. So for those who may not know, my esteemed, highly regarded, highly respected star on the rise co-host. Am I allowed to say co-host?
Yeah.
Check my contract real quick. I don't think I wanted to say.
All right.
The host, Nikias Duncan.
Oh, brother.
Can take issue at time with high assist games. So on November 17th, 2012, Nikias tweeted that Rondo had 6 points, 20 assists, and 5 turnovers. I love the 20 dimes, but would I be wrong to criticize 6 points when being guarded by Jose Calderon? Which is just an all-timer in which you slander a man who had 20 assists. And also Jose Calderon in less than 140 characters. August 23rd, 2015, Nikias tweeted that seriously, Avery Johnson dropped 20 dimes against the Vancouver Grizzlies in 97. We're off to a great start. Granted, only had 9 points on 4-for-11 shooting. But Yen, he literally spelled Y-E-A-H-N. So just wanted to establish the background for y'all.
That should be good.
Sabrino Ionescu had 16 assists against the Mercury, which is a New York Liberty franchise record. It makes her the 4th WNBA player with a 16-assist game.
Okay.
Shout out Tisha Pinachero, Sue Bird, Courtney Vandersloot. And she's the second player in W history with a game of 10-plus points, 16-plus assists, 8-plus rebounds. Her and Courtney Vandersloot. Those stats, by the way, courtesy of Across Timeline on Twitter. Is the energy the same for that performance?
I guess to maintain the bit, what did she shoot from the field?
Well, Nikias, I'm glad you asked. Because while she did all that, the shooting performance was not the best.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she shot, I believe, 3-for-14.
That's not ideal.
Shameless.
Not an ideal shooting performance.
Shameless.
You want a little bit more efficiency, but I appreciate the fact that she found other ways to impact the game and it led to a blowout victory over the Mercury.
All right.
So props to Sabrina.
All right. So the energy is the same. Do we appreciate Natasha Cloud's defense enough?
Apparently not.
I think she has a case for all defensive first team or second team.
She has a case for it all defensive team, yeah.
Do you know your ally is Holly Rowe?
Yes, I heard the broadcast.
All right. Who's beating the Chicago Sky in a playoff series?
The Aces can.
So, okay. I got you. Who do you think came up with the idea that their team should be playing zone more? Sue Bird or Diana Taurasi?
Definitely Diana.
Allie Quigley or Diana Taurasi?
I will take the version of Diana Taurasi that is playing this level of defense.
That's wow. All right. All right. Moving right along. Moving right along. Is JaVale McGee owed an apology for the face scan that went out on the Bird app?
Oh, I have not seen this.
Okay. I'm going to do some talking. Can you, any way you can look that up here real quick?
Let's see. This is on Twitter.
Yeah, it's somewhere on there. You can find it on the Bird app.
Let's see what we got here.
Riveting content, by the way. Folks, I hope everyone's happy and healthy out there.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Keep your head up. All right, there we go.
They had to do him like that. Come on, man. Come on. <though. laughs> And like, it would be one thing if this was a standalone picture. You have LeBron looking like this. This is like a literal picture of Chris Paul. Trae Young looks incredible. And then it's like a 2K15 render of JaVale McGee. Or it's a 2K14 render of JaVale McGee. If anyone remembers when we got the PS4s and Xbox Ones and the graphic change from, it was insane. And this feels like they didn't have to do JaVale like that, man. Also, so, wait a minute. Why do we have LeBron, Chris Paul, Trae, and then a JaVale McGee face scan? Like, no disrespect to JaVale, but like, how is this the grouping of players?
There's only a few of those people in there that are champions.
You know what? That's true. That's fair. LeBron, JaVale are the champions there. That's,
put some respect on his name. What would be worse, a realistic version of you looking bad or a bad fake version of you? Like, would you rather have the bad realistic face scan or like the NBA Live whenever they came back face scan?
Oh, man.
Imagine if like Kemba Walker was still in the game 10 years from now, but it was just your face scan.
Wow. Did you set all that up just to say that? Because that's what that feels like. I feel like that's a bar you've been waiting to get off for some time now. You're like, wait, 2K scans dropped. Now it's my time. We are really in the offseason for the NBA. Wow. Well, I thought I had an answer. I don't think I have one now. I don't know.
What a great shot that was. Trae Young or Ja Morant?
Trae.
Oh, you said that very quickly.
I answered this in the Dunker Spot community, I believe. Is where this was. Yeah.
Okay. Well, now I got to go with the backup. Darius Garland or Ja Morant?
I would take Ja over Darius Garland.
Okay. Chris Paul or Ja Morant?
Probably Ja at this point.
Luka or Ja Morant?
Luka.
Jamal Murray.
Or Ja Morant
or Donovan Mitchell.
Oh, okay. Murray or Mitchell. I'll take Mitchell, but I want to see what Murray looks like after all this time off.
Okay. So Colin Sexton, what's up with that?
This feels like a setup. I would like to see him like, God, I'm going to fall right into the bit on him. Like, he can score, man. Like, I'll say this much. Like, I listened to the episode of Low Post, and I think it was Chris Fedor who was on as the Cavs representative, and he said that there were multiple members in the Cavs building that would prefer Caris LeVert over Colin Sexton. I would just say respectfully, I don't see that with both healthy.
Okay.
Like, I have my concerns with Colin as a playmaker, and he's not a multi-positional defender. And like, we've talked about this on the podcast in season one, particularly, but like the pull-up shooting's there, the driving is there. Like, he did just average north of 20. Like, and he's still young. I don't know. Feels like we're getting a little too low on Colin Sexton at this point.
Understood. More exciting camp invite, Noah Vonleh to the Celtics or Bruno Caboclo to the Celtics?
It's got to be Bruno, who like quietly wrecked it during Utah Summer League. I'd like to see if he can make the final roster. It'll be fun.
We don't talk about Bruno. Better fit for the Warriors, Jermichael Green or Dante DiVincenzo?
I'm going to say Dante.
Do you think Ben Simmons needs a jump shot at this point?
Where did this come from? It'll be helpful. It'd be nice if he had a jumper. Like, give us a 14-footer.
Okay. Did attending a wedding give you the itch?
Wow. Thank you for listening to this. Nah. A little bit, but we'll see where things go.
Hey, there you go, young king. Get it. Get it.
All right.
Were you able to secure the Cowboys tickets?
God, no. There are no Cowboys tickets. Friends that may be people who listen to this podcast, if you have people in your life that do sports media, particularly journalists, analysts, bloggers, or the like, they don't get tickets to games. If they are media, they get credentials in which they are there to literally write about or take pictures of what's happening. Teams do not give media members free tickets to dole out to family members, friends, spouses, sides, etc. They just don't. Don't ask. It's not a request that's going to go over well. It's not realistic. If you're not sure about what the person in your life actually does in their job, ask them.
Oh boy.
They will tell you. Don't come out the gate with, hey, can you get me tickets? Particularly, can you get me tickets to the wrong sport?
Jeez.
It's not gonna happen, so quit asking where it's Nick Saban.
The hashtag is big time, folks.
It's not even big time. It's just like, no.
Again. The hashtag is accurate. It's actually really funny, though. I never got more texts than when I was working in the league from people just out of nowhere. Hey, man, I see you guys going to be in Milwaukee in a week.
I'm just like, what is it that you think I do exactly?
What, do you need tickets? Yeah, can I get six? Six? Do you know how many trades I had to do to get take care of Portland? No. I gave up Milwaukee 4 months ago.
It's just like, it kills me. I'm just like, you know, if you don't know, you don't know. Like, there's only so much I can, like, be annoyed by it. But it's also like, ask me how my work is going. Why is it immediately, hey, take me with you or get me tickets? It's not what I do. It's not what any media member does. Like, it quite literally is not the job description.
But what you do is swag surf.
No, it's not. I'm sorry to disappoint.
My bad.
All good. Please don't ask your media friends for tickets. I'm sorry.
I didn't know you was going to get so mad about that.
I'm not. I just want everyone to understand. This is
we're losing recipes.
We are indeed losing recipes. It's hard enough to get a credential to some places. Y'all asking for tickets. Anyway.
Well, take us out of here, man. I mean, this is a pod where we transition from.
The Andersons have tickets to the game, not me.
All right. Thank you again for listening to another episode of the Dunker Spot. We are on all major podcast platforms. You can catch us on Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, Beans. You can find them on Twitter at Nikias NBA. You can find me on Twitter at SteveJones20. And with that, what you be saying? Another day.
A whole tractor, though?